How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 817-818 now. Here we go on a Saturday morning, 808-888-02. What's the number again? I'm all screwed up today. 888-808-1219. Right, there you go. Ah, the pain. This is what happens when you get old. What is it again? 888-808-1019. That's right. Right? Did I say that right now? 101. I'm telling you, I'm all screwed up because we had a little glitch with Mike Vaccaro getting in on the phone here. So we apologize. And here he is. One of the premier sports writers, really, in New York, certainly in the country, from the New York Post, Mike Vaccaro. Mike, how are you?
Well, you know, Joe, I think it's the same thing with me. I mean, I don't know any phone numbers anymore because all I do is I just press one button. Magically, somebody appears. So nobody knows phone numbers anymore. So this is everybody's problem.
Yeah. No, it is, right, bro? It really is crazy. There's no question about it. Let's start with this. Let's start with our Knickerbockers. You're big with the basketball. Nice win last night. They blow Milwaukee out by 30. Didn't have Giannis, but they had a great – I only saw the first half because I had to go to bed because I got to get up early. They had a great first half. Brunson was on fire. You know, Cat looked really good. You know, Shamit's hitting threes all over the place. Where are you right now with this Knick team? They're 38-22. You got 22 games left. What's your thoughts?
I'm very puzzled, Joe. It just never. On one sense, on the sense of what they are right now, it's very puzzling because they just you really just don't know what version of the team is going to show up game to game. You know, we can talk about how bad the Bucks are without Giannis, but they were 8-2 coming in. They beat the right. Cavaliers, like, you know, the game before. So, you know, you don't hand back any of these wins, and they looked really good doing it last night. I mean, you know, the first quarter belonged to Brunson, the second quarter belonged to Cat, the third quarter belonged to OG, and you know, when all three of those guys are playing well, they're going to win most of their games. So,
right.
You know, you and I have talked about this. I mean, you know, the thing of it is, we associate the term dog days with August with baseball because
think
of, like, you know, 101 in the shade and just get me to October. But really, these are the dog days of basketball. I mean, February is freezing, so you don't think of them as the dog days. But in the NBA, where it's just get to April and being one piece, being your best then, these are really difficult for everybody. They're hard to watch. They're hard to play. And I get it, you know, no one's going to play any violins for them. But, you know, it's grinding through to the end. And, look, I mean, the last couple of days they've actually been good to the Knicks. They've actually, since they left Cleveland, they picked up 2 games on the Cavaliers. And that's
right,
huge, you know. I mean, right now the primary thing you want to do is finish out of the 4-5 spot because you just want to avoid the Pistons as long as possible, assuming both of you win. And right now they're 2 games up on the Cavaliers in the loss column with the tiebreaker. So, you know, even as recently as when you and I talked a couple of days ago, I mean, they're in a lot better position now than they were then, and that's the weird nature of the season. You know, I still think they can catch the Celtics. They're not catching the Pistons, but that's fine. You know, if one or two is fine, then you know, if you get that far, you do. But you know, I think they're okay now. And look, maybe it takes a stinker like they had Wednesday in Cleveland to get them on the right track. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have stinkers during the NBA long NBA season. There's no way around it. You know how I feel. They're gonna win the first round. See, my feeling is this: they're gonna be no worse than 4. They're gonna win the first round series, and then it's, you know, whatever, right? Then it's let's hope for the best, right? Isn't that where we are with this team, right?
Yeah, but, you know, look at that. You have to play. You're gonna have to beat a good team, right? I mean, last year they had to beat the Celtics. You know, they obviously had what happened against the Pacers happened.
I mean,
you know, so the even the notion of wanting to avoid the Pistons, I mean, that's something that you and I talk about, fans talk about. I mean, the players don't really care who they play, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, they think they can beat anybody. That's true right across the NBA. I mean, there are a lot of Washington Wizards who think they're going to win the rest of their games, too. But, you know, so at some point you have to play the Pistons and beat the Pistons. So, You just want to be playing well, and you want to be healthy. The only thing that matters for the Knicks right now is being healthy and playing as well as you can play. At the end, then you take your chances from there, because there's nothing else you can do about it once the playoffs start.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. The Pacers will not be in the playoffs, okay? So that's the – to me, that is the best news you could have, because there's nobody – I'd play anybody than have to play Indiana in the playoffs again. I'm going to tell you right now.
Joe, I think that you, Terry, me, my wife, Lee, and Evan Roberts could put Pacers uniforms on and have a good shot at taking the Knicks in seven.
I mean, even last night, you know, I'm watching the game last night, right? And I didn't even realize Miles Turner was on the Bucks. And here he is, right? He's an old Pacer, and he's killing him. Like, he's the only guy in the first half of Milwaukee that was doing anything. He couldn't miss a shot. You know what I mean, right?
He was making all his threes. It's hilarious. You're right. All you have to have is a vague Pacers relationship, and you're just gonna massacre the Knicks. It's hilarious.
Yep. No, there's no doubt. You know, it's funny, because when I was in college in Indiana back in the early 70s, you know, the Pacers were still in the ABA, and they were winning championships just like the Knicks. You know, Mel Daniels, Roger Brown, Bob Nedelecki, all those guys. Right? Donnell Hillman. You know, I used to watch them play a lot, because there I was. You know, I'd go to games, you know, in the old Fairgrounds Coliseum, you know. And it was funny, because all these people in Indiana that would be, oh, you know, the Knicks are great. We could beat the Knicks. We could do this. We could do that. And I would laugh at them. And now we can't beat the Pacers anymore. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, there's a great documentary now, Joe, the four-part series on the ABA.
I know, on the ABA. I know. Where is that, Mike? Where is it?
I mean, I believe it's Amazon Prime. And it's really, really good. I mean, it's just, you know, I grew up on the ABA, because the Nets were 5 minutes from my house.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's great, and it's got a lot of great information about those Pacers team. You know, they call them the Celtics of the ABA, but I think contemporarily you could call them the Knicks of the ABA too, for sure.
Well, let me ask you this one thing, maybe it's because of the market size. Why the Kentucky Colonels did not get into the NBA, right? Was it the market size? Was that what it was?
They get into it. For one, the NBA only wanted four teams,
right?
And they wanted the extra New York market, and the other three.
Of course,
were really good. But you know, the Colonels led the NBA in attendance the last like 4 years the NBA existed. They gave John Wayne Brown a payout of $3.9 million, and you know, and what happened there? You talk about the butterfly flapping its wings. In Beijing and causing a flood in Bayonne. I mean, he takes that money, he buys the Braves, then he swaps franchises with the Celtics. The Braves wind up going out to San Diego. The Celtics wind up having the worst time, almost lose Red Arrow back, because he can't stand John Wayne Brown. John Wayne Brown did it for the money. He got a $4 million payout, which was a lot of money in that moment. And you know, of course, the greater story of the ABA, Joe, is the Silva brothers, who had the St. Louis Spirits for about a year.
Oh, that's right, and they're still making money
off
it, right?
They wanted in too, and unlike John Wayne Brown, they didn't take the payout. They agreed to take 1/7 of every TV deal. That would have gone to the other ABA, either the four existing ABA teams who did go to the NBA. They got 1/7 of their money, and they wound up, like, by the time they sold out last year, they wound up making $980 million.
Unbelievable! That is, I know, I right, right,
and that,
right.
In that video, Mark Cuban calls it the best deal in the history of deals.
Right, maybe the only better deal was the one Bobby Bonilla got from the Mets. You know what I mean?
That one might last as long, but I don't know if it's going to be quite so valuable. But it's just amazing, and it's funny because the Silvers are Jersey guys, Joe. In fact, my wife is a little familiar with the family, because they were good benefactors to Pony Power, where my wife until recently used to work, a therapeutic horse farm. So, you know, it's just, you know, they have more money than they know what to do with, and it's because of a great deal they made because of 2 years of membership in the ABA. Incredible,
right? The spirit of St. Louis, right?
Right.
Was it Marvin Barnes? Right.
Barnes. And there's a good, you know, Bob Costas, who got his start there, tells a great story where he almost got in trouble like his second broadcast. It's a very fun documentary. There's a million great stories, and you know, if you haven't read the book Loose Balls by Terry Pluto, also a great ABA reference material. It's a lot of stories for a league that wasn't around that long.
And only if and could you imagine if we only would have wound up with either Doctor? Because remember, they also the Knicks signed George McGinnis, and then it got voided, right? That whole thing. Did I get into all of that with him and all of that?
Yes, with Dr. J. There's an entire episode basically devoted to Dr. J.
Right.
What became him. But they don't get into the details. And the details are this. You know, basically, you know, the Nets offered the Knicks Julius basically straight up, you know, cancel our indemnity. Because, you know, as part of going into the ABA.
They had to pay. That's right. They had to pay a territorial deal or whatever.
They had
to
pay.
Right?
I want to say it was like a $4 or $5 million territorial indemnity.
Right.
Roy Bowe was already low on cash. And he just said, all right, you can have Julius. And what's amazing is that the Knicks tried to buy their way out of problems for so many years, starting in the mid-70s.
Wow.
You know, like a year earlier, they basically tried to buy Kareem from the Bucks, and the Bucks were turned off by that method, so they wound up trading into the Lakers instead. Now all they needed to do was basically write a check for $4 million, and Julius was there. They, for whatever reason, they wouldn't do it. He wound up a Sixer, and, you know, the rest is history. Amazing.
Boy, could you imagine that if Julius would have went to the Knicks in 1977? Right?
Wow. Incredible. Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about the pain. You would just be, there are a lot of different eras of pain when it comes to the Knicks, Joe. And, you know, that kind of dark era between, like, 76 and 84 when Bernard kind of had his moment would have been
a little
different.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's so many. Pat Riley walking away. I mean, we could go on and on.
God. Yeah, that could be our own radio show.
we could go on and on about the disaster of the Knicks. We're talking over the years. We're talking to the great Mike Vaccaro with the Post. All right, so St. John's gets absolutely destroyed in Hartford. I guess you were there in Hartford last week by UConn, you know, which was predictable. I mean, UConn comes off a bad loss to Creighton, and St. John's had beaten the Huskies earlier in the year. They were kind of waiting in the weeds. I mean, should I be concerned? And they play Villanova tonight, the Johnnies. Should I be concerned at all about that loss? What about that?
I mean, I didn't think the Johnnies were going to win the game. I mean, I made that trip knowing they were probably going to lose and end the losing streak. I think it's a little much when you watch a whole game. I can't remember the last time I saw a game with two good teams where one of the teams scored two baskets and a half
with the
Johnnies. I think they missed their last 21 shots or something crazy. So, you know, it was a thorough throttling. So that part would probably bother me. But look, I mean, two things. I think the Johnnies got a huge scheduling break by, you know, getting Villanova right away because they know Villanova is really good.
Yeah.
You know, they're coached by one of Pitino's a real protege in Willard. So they're going to have their attention right away. So I think that's a good thing. And look, I mean, I'm quite certain the last couple of days Pitino's had the players' attention because that's the kind of practice you probably wish you had a sprained ankle at so you wouldn't have to get to endure them. So I think they'll be fine tonight, and I think they'll be okay. Look, I mean, it was expanded because they were so bad. But the things that we can be concerned about St. John's against anybody, we're out in the open against UConn. They really can't shoot. I mean, they're barely an adequate shooting team, even if without factoring in the awfulness of Wednesday. And they were pretty shaky free throw shooting team, Joe. They kind of remind me a little bit of the Knicks teams that we cut our teeth on in the 90s.
Oh.
You go through all the chapter and verse of all the sad things that happened, but when you come right down to it, you look at the stat sheet, you know, they missed 10, 11, 12 free throws, and that costs you sometimes. And
they missed 15. They missed 15 in the Charles Smith Memorial game. 15.
I know you knew what I was talking about. I mean,
yes.
These things matter. Look, in fairness to me, in that opinion, you know, in the middle of their winning streak when they were playing great, I would always like turn to Zach Braziller, you know, my partner at the Post.
Right. I like Zach. He does a great job.
These guys can't shoot free throws. That's going to be a problem. And he's like, you're right. You know, and of course they minimize it. And, you know, I think the game I said that they want to make it like 13 to 15 or something, whatever. It's a weird thing, foul shooting, but it worries me. And look, I mean, they're always going to play hard. They're going to play defense.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Like the defense didn't matter today because UConn is very good and, you know, and they're on a roll, but I mean, they do all the things you want to see in a team. You know, I do fear that there's a little bit of the same issue that wound up rearing its ugly head with last year's team, which was a really great regular season team, was tough, you know, always was able to rise to occasions during the regular season. Then, you know, one day when they really needed it against Arkansas last year, you know, their best player couldn't score, shots wouldn't fall, and as hard as they played, they just couldn't get that, you know, 2-minute offensive spurt that sometimes is the difference between winning and losing in those NCAA games. So, look, I mean, to me, the Johnnies could easily be a second weekend team. I don't think they're a Final Four team, but I think they could definitely go to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And they could just as easily lose in the second round, depending on who they play and what the matchup is. So,
right.
But I think they'll be fine. I mean, look, I mean, they'll get a top six seed, I think. You know, and so you should win that first round game, and then you take your chances the rest of the way, which is what everybody else does.
Let me ask you, we're talking to the great Mike Vaccaro. How many teams in the Big East make?
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Get to the tournament.
Well, I think obviously UConn, St. John's, and Villanova are given.
Right.
Yeah, you would like to think that a fourth team. I mean, Seton Hall certainly looked like an NCAA team.
They play UConn today, right? Seton Hall plays UConn today, right?
And I was about to say, I think, look, if they could ever steal that one from UConn today, and you know, good luck to them. They're playing at Gamble Pavilion, and UConn's on a roll. But if they could steal that, look, they had a very good chance to beat them in Newark a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
If they win that game, then all of a sudden I think you'll see them creeping up to whatever it is on these bracketologists. You know, maybe go out from last four out to first four out to who knows.
Right.
Four in. This game is huge because it's a quad one win, all that other junk that they talk about with NCAA metrics and so forth. But it gives them something on their resume. And then you just, you know, maybe then you take it from there and you win five in a row to get to the finals of the Big East tournament, and then that's a different conversation. But right now, I think it's three solid, and then I think Seton Hall's got a shot.
Well, I'd like to see Seton Hall win that game today. I mean, you never know. They catch UConn on a letdown after the St. John's game. You never know.
Yeah. Every possibility. And look, I mean, Shaheen, I think, does a great job. He gets these guys fired up for games. He's a really good game coach. I mean, they're in good hands. They just don't have the kind of players that UConn, St. John's, and Villanova have. Right. But you know, sometimes it doesn't matter when you get the right night, the right day, because high noon tip off.
They don't have the NIL money these other schools have. Unfortunately, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, they're trying. Look, I mean, they really did try a little bit this year. But try is the wrong word. They were able to invest a little more this year than they have in the last couple of years. You know, it's no mystery. I mean, you know, they don't. You know, NIL doesn't guarantee you anything, but it certainly puts you in a better position. If you have better players, you got a better shot, and that's what it's all about now.
Yeah, no, you no doubt about it. We're talking to Mike Vaccaro. All right, my baseball team. How should I feel? You know how I feel. I got very mixed emotions about my team, as you know.
Yep.
I'm so disgusted with what happened with Pete. You know, Stearns wanted him out. There's no doubt about it. Pete wanted out. I think he couldn't stand Stearns. I really think that. And he went and he's gone. And I'll never get over it, just like I never got over Siva, like I never got over Strawberry. You know, we could go right on down the line. Okay. David Cohen, you know all the deal. What do you think about right now with this team?
Well, you know, look, I mean, when you and I would have these conversations during the winter, and it was just, you know, what are we doing here? What's the plan? I mean, for better or worse, we know what the plan is now. Now, the question is, will that plan work? I mean, obviously, you know, if you're going to give one feather of credit there, I mean, they did put together a team based on that plan. Now, I'm not sure what that's going to mean. I mean, you know, I think right now they're ripe for all kinds of interesting criticisms because, you know, the whole run prevention thing and, you know, everybody on the field is playing a different position.
Right. Well, so, the run prevention really meant Pete leaving. That's it. That's what run prevention was all about. Come on.
It was kind of a euphemism, sure. look, I mean, you know the way these things work, especially with the Mets, right? There's always going to be a thing where you just, like, shake your head and you laugh. Like yesterday on the first pitch Devin Williams throws, he throws a home run ball.
Of course
it was in a 14-3 win, so it's like, well, but I mean, yeah, he's not going to play. He's not going to pitch 14-3 games. I mean, and I guess we get it. He was working on something. I guess it was a new pitch for him, and it wasn't his airbender or whatever, but I get it. But it is funny. I mean, not funny. Funny in that way we talk about funny.
Right. It's funny that Pete Alonso hit a bomb of a home run in his first spring training game against the Yankees, right?
I think that's what's hilarious. I mean, you contrast the two, right? Alonso hit the home run his first at-bat. and Devin gives up a home run his first swing. Again, we go back to the old standby health. I mean, if you get the core of the team to stay together for a long time, team. Look, I do think they have the chance to do pretty well. I won't bet my house on it. I mean,
right,
but I do
right,
think
right,
they
right.
The most encouraging thing I got out of spring training was just how good McClain looked the other day.
Yeah, he looks great. There's no doubt
about
it.
He looks great. You know, and of course, young pitchers, you always hold your breath every time they throw a pitch.
I wish he wasn't pitching in the WBC.
I wish he wasn't pitching in the WBC. I do too. But, as starting pitch, you know, ask the Pirates how successful they were last year having Paul Skenes on the team. But, you know, that's made me very excited. I think the guys that they got are all pros. I mean, I think Semien's going to be a big help, you know, in terms of bringing some kind of good attitude. He's a tough guy. I think they really needed that.
Right.
I like Peralta. I think he's going to be really good. Like, they've got a lot of intriguing parts. I mean, but you know, you just don't know about what that translates to on the baseball field. Look, I mean, you'd love to be excited about the fact they seem to be playing very well in spring training, but these games. I mean, I've always been on the mindset, I wish you would go 0-27 in spring training and just, you know, save all your good stuff for the regular season. It's like the countless number of Jets teams and Giants teams that have gone 6-0 and 4-1.
Don't even.
You just don't want them to win those games because it's like you're wasting all your good karma. But you do want to see them playing. Well, look, they look to be fairly interesting, and you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think the East actually is there for them. I don't think the Phillies are going to be quite as good. I mean, the Braves are going to be better than they were last year, but I think they've lost a step or two.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, it's, you know what? I mean, at the very least, I think that unless the transactions of the offseason have driven you away forever, and, you know, some people probably did, but I think most people are going to just say, all right, let's my team, let's see what we do. I mean, I think they'll make for an interesting, you know, team to watch every day for 6 months. I mean, it's, you know, they were interesting last year too, but for all the wrong reasons, at least they have to do it.
Right. Now, let me tell you, if I didn't leave after they let Siva go, you know I'm here forever, bro. You know that.
That's, oh, I know. And the thing of it is, I mean, all that does is represent just how much Mets fans care about their team. I mean, when you hear that much and you get that mad about something in December, it's one thing to get mad in September and October, August.
Right.
It's one thing to get mad then, but when you're mad because the players who were leaving or the players who were coming, that tells you how much you care. And so, you know, so that's why I always laugh at every periodical you'll see these people who are, you know, going to auction off their fandom, right?
It's like, I know.
I have no time for those stories. It's like, no, then you're not a fan to begin with.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's a death sentence. I mean, look, I would love to have sometime when I was like 16 say, you know what? I'm a Celtics fan. I'd have had a lot more enjoyable life if I'd done that. But you can't do that because you grew up a certain way.
Yeah, well, that's the Celtics. What a disgrace. But anyway, you know.
I'm just throwing one out there.
No, I know. That's a bad one.
Especially.
Yeah, that one, that's a blood boiler, man. There's no doubt about that.
I knew it would boil your blood.
All right, I'm not even gonna talk about the Jets. Okay, I'm not even gonna go into it. Aaron Glenn falling asleep. I would fall asleep at the combines too. So I'm not gonna.
Oh God.
I'm not gonna get crazy about that. But I want to ask you this. Okay, I actually want to talk about the Giants because I am seriously considering making a bet that the Giants, because I'm sure I'm getting a good number on it. That's the only reason, because I think the odds will be good that the Giants win the division this year. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you know, you got the new blood of the coach, and I don't think that hiring this guy is a magic elixir, but I think he's clearly better than anything they've had since Tom Coughlin. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And look, they have enough interesting pieces where, you know, they're going to be competitive. They were competitive last year, even when they were terrible. And, you know, so why not? I think it's just, you look at this. Is it a sure bet? No. Is it a good bet? Absolutely. Because you're right. Because you're going to get good odds. And I don't believe in any of the other teams in that division. Do you? So
no,
I
mean, not really.
Not even Philly. Right?
Not even Philly. Not even that.
Now I think you're throwing your money away if they're going to win the championship next year or go to the Super Bowl. But I think winning the NFC East is certainly a look. If it's not a reasonable goal, it's certainly an attainable one.
Right.
And I think that why not? So yeah. I mean, the Giants are in fine position. I'm not going to guarantee a championship for them in the next couple of years, but I'll say they're going to be a lot more enjoyable to watch, and you know, we'll have something to watch around here, you know, in October, November for the first time in years, because usually that's when the football season ends.
Right.
You know, the Jets, especially the for Jets my family team. Are in a different situation. You know what?
Let me ask you this. Jets, okay? Mm-hmm. Who's the quarterback opening day?
Does Joe Willie have any eligibility left? I don't know.
Joe Willie.
You know, I would say it's a Cousins type. I'm not saying it's going to be Cousins, but I think it's going to be one of those.
Right.
Here's a guy who's had some success. He was available. He's on the way out.
I'd take him. I would bring him in. I would.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. You just want something adequate after what you've saw last year. And, you know, everybody talks about how hard it is to play in the NFL. Only a certain number of guys can play. Okay, that's fine. It's another thing to be on the other extreme where it's just so impossible to watch. And look, I mean, I get it. The Jets were a bad team. They weren't going to win a lot of games no matter who was quarterbacking them. But, you know, unless you can tell me that the guy who can play 17 games next year is the version of Justin Fields who played against the Steelers, because that was an adequate professional-looking quarterback. I don't know what happened to that guy after we
won.
Right?
I know.
Because, they might have still been 4-12, 4-13, or 5-12 and doing my new NFL schedule math.
Crazy. It'll be 18 soon.
Yeah, it will be. But, certainly, I just don't know what happened. That guy, the guy who played the opener was a quarterback you could at least go to war with. And by week three, he was a guy you barely could keep your eyes on without turning away. It was bizarre.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this. I got one more because I got to run. Do we have a baseball season next year, year after this one?
God. I mean, you know, the cynic in me says no, but I don't think that they would be dumb enough to just whittle away an entire season. I know the NHL did it once and they recovered. I mean, basically the MLB did it in 94, 95. I have a hard time just wrapping my brain around there being an entire work stoppage. I do think it'll be like an 81 game season, 100 game season. And those seasons are almost just as unenjoyable as having no baseball. I mean, the 2020 season was just
that was a joke. 2020 was a joke.
Just let it end, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look back at 81, I mean, did the Dodgers give away that championship? Probably not. They probably put the flag up.
They put it up in 20, too. The Dodgers won in 2020, didn't they?
It's amazing, right? They did. They did. And, you know, what's funny is that what I remember in 81, Joe, is that, you know, and that was in the middle of just the vast desert that the Mets were after Seager and before Hernandez.
They were in a vast desert, yes.
But they were still in play for the second half title with like 2 weeks to go, and that was like unusual to be watching important Mets games in September. And of course, the excitement was incredible because they released 4,000 or 5,000 people at Shea Stadium for those games.
Oh my God, what a disaster, Mike. You know I love you. I got to check out that ABA thing, no doubt about it. It's always a pleasure, bro. You know that, always.
Always a pleasure with you, Joe. Thanks, I appreciate it. Good talking to you. I'm sure we'll have other things to talk about soon, as you know. So let's look forward to that.
You got it. All right, the great Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.